Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I'm going to take my thought tonight from those last words. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I love the sound of that phrase, the beauty of holiness. Not everyone understands that. The beauty of holiness. Holiness is a beautiful thing. To some, holiness is not a beautiful thing. There are those who oppose it. There are those who degrade it. There are those who certainly misunderstand it. But to those that understand, holiness is beautiful. And to the Lord of glory, holiness is beautiful. So we want to talk tonight about the beauty of holiness. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for being here tonight in this service. And it's a wonderful presence of the Lord. Amen. I appreciate God's presence here. Amen. And I appreciate you being here. First of all, I want us to note that worship is a command here. Not a suggestion. Worship is commanded of us. Amen. It's something that we are literally commanded to do. And whenever you're a worshiper, it's just as natural as breathing. You can't help but worship when you're a worshiper. Hallelujah. Amen. David was a worshiper. Amen. He learned how to worship early in life, and he worshiped in every kind of situation. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is when he came to Ziklag and found that the city was burned, and his family and all the families of the soldiers had been taken, their wives and their children and all of their possessions had been stolen by an enemy, and the city lay in ashes and in ruin. And David's army, they were battle weary, and they were discouraged already, and they saw that, and even his faithful men became angry at David and almost wanted to destroy him. Amen. And it must have been a tough situation, but the Bible says that David took a linen ephod, which is a worship garment, and he went outside the camp. He got off by himself somewhere, and the Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. That's one thing you've got to learn how to do if you're going to be a successful Christian. Your pastor can't always encourage you. Your brothers and sisters can't always encourage you. There's not always going to be somebody that's going to encourage you. The telephone's going to be silent sometimes. You're going to be all alone sometimes. And you're going to have to get off somewhere by yourself. And you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. And you just do that by simply worshiping him. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing to learn how to be a worshiper. Praise God. Amen. I like worshipers. I like folks. It don't take much to get them going. Hallelujah. I mean, they're on a short fuse. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It don't take but just a little bit. Woo! They get to feel in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And they just can't hold it. It's like a fire that's shut up in their bones. And they just can't refrain from worshiping the Lord and praising him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you'll allow me a few moments here to get a little scholarly, there are several words used in the Bible to express worship. Now, in our English Bible, in our King James Version Bible, they're all just say worship. But the words in the Greek language from which, you know, the Bible was written, the Old Testament's written primarily in Hebrew, a few words of Chaldean. And then the New Testament is written almost completely in Greek with perhaps a few words of Aramaic. So it's written in originally in those languages. We know that. And it's been translated to English. Thank God for that. I'm so thankful we have it in English tonight. Amen. These folks that get off on some of these tangents and they say, well, God's name is Yahweh. Well, then learn to read Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic if you're going to get that specific. Jesus is just good enough for me. I understand if you're going to sit in Greek, it's Yeshua or some such thing, but Jesus is fine with me. And I think it must be all right with him because I sure feel something when I say it. Woo! I know it's all right with the devil because I can promise you one thing. I've seen him skadoodle when I call that name. Amen. I've watched him come out of people when I call that name. I've watched people hit their knees when you call that name. I've watched sicknesses disappear when you call that name. Hallelujah. I've watched people lay down their cane and start leaping and shouting and praising God. I've watched people get out of wheelchairs when you call that name. Amen. We didn't say Yeshua and we didn't say Yahweh. We just said Jesus. Amen. But for the sake of understanding tonight, let us do a little inspection here and look at a few words. And it kind of gives us a different flavor about what worship is. First of all, the most frequently used Greek word for worship is the word proskenuo. Proskenuo is a word, and it really indicates an action more than anything else. Amen. When you break it down, the word pros means to or towards something or someone. Kenuo means to kiss or to show affection. Hallelujah. So you're getting the idea here? So what the word really is indicating to us is that we are showing affection toward God. That's what worship is. It's showing affection. It's showing love unto the Lord. Amen. It's like a little child when you're leaving and somebody says, blow you a kiss, you know, and they throw it toward you. And isn't that a sweet thing? Amen. We used that verse the other night in our preaching from Acts chapter, or rather Psalm chapter 2 that said, kiss the Son. Amen. What that's saying is to show affection to. Hallelujah. Worship primarily is just loving God. It's just loving God. And when you love Him, it's not something you got to cook up. It's not just something you got to pray down. It's not something somebody's got to get up and cheerlead you into. It just flows out of you. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Because you've been so good to me, I thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. It just rolls out of the inside. Amen. That's what we're talking about. Amen. When we talk about praising the Lord, that's the most common word that we use. It's about our actions to the Lord. And when we praise Him with our praises and give Him the love of our heart. Amen. Then the next word that they use a lot, it's actually three different words, but with a very similar meaning. Sebumai means to revere. It stresses the feeling of awe and devotion. There's another similar word. It's a derivative of that same word, sabazamai, and it simply means, it talks about the attitude to be fearful, to be afraid, to honor, to worship, to revere, to respect. Amen. That talks about our attitude toward the Lord. The attitude of worship. The attitude of worship is reverence. It's awe. Hallelujah. It's just awe. To just walk into the presence of the Lord and your attitude. It has to be. We never need to get familiar with God to the point that we think He's our equal somehow. He's just what is it they call him, the big man, amen, the man upstairs. Oh, no, he's far more than that. He's to be revered, he's to be reverenced, he's to be awed, and he's to be feared. It's about your attitude toward God. Amen. Sometimes people get a little lax, and it disturbs me, some of the phrases they use talking about God. You know, the Bible, when it talks about using God's name in vain, that's more than just mixing it with a curse word. That's just simply saying it when you don't mean it. Don't let it just become common that you just say it and you're not really praising and you're not really praying. You're just using God's name. That's vain. Don't use it unless you're praying or unless you're worshiping. Amen. If you're talking about Him, that's okay. But we don't use the Lord's name just whenever we get a little, excited, or use the Lord's name whenever we get startled about something. And you know what I'm talking about. Be careful about that, folks. That lets your attitude kind of begin to slip away. Be careful how you use His name. You know, the Jews had a name. Of course, we in your Bible, it's the capital letters. When you see L-O-R-D in capital letters, we translate that. It's a tetragram. What is it? Tetragrammaton. And it's literally words that doesn't have any vowels in it. And you can't say it, because the Jews were afraid to say it. They reverenced it so much that they wouldn't say it. We say Jehovah, some say Yahweh, but they reverenced it so much they would not repeat that name. It is said, and I don't know, it's just what I've read, but I've read that when they would come to that name, and they would, before they would write it, they would get up and they would bathe themselves, put on a clean robe, get a fresh pen before they'd ever write His name, because they reverenced Him so much. Amen. Folks, we need to reverence Him. Amen. That's the attitude we need to be very careful about that name. We need to be very careful about His word. Amen. Don't reverence this book, folks. This is not like any other book in the world. Amen. This is special. This is holy. It's set apart. There's no other book like this. And so you reverence that book tonight. And so that's the spirit of praise. A spirit of worship is a spirit of reverence and a spirit of awe and a spirit of devotion. Amen. Even a spirit sometimes of fear. Amen. I don't want to displease the Lord. I don't want to displease the Lord. I don't want the Lord to be displeased with me. I don't want to do something or say something that's going to bring His wrath. I want to be careful with the Lord. Amen. And then there's two other words that are used, and they basically speak of two things. When they're used, they are used in reference to service to the Lord and to ministry to the Lord and to obedience to the Lord. Did you know just obeying the Lord is worship? Just doing what the Lord said. You don't have to understand it. You just do it. And that's worship. Serving the Lord is worship. I said serving the Lord is worship. Amen. Praise God. All of those things are involved in worship. Coming to church when you don't feel like coming to church is worship. Amen. It is. It's worship. Praise God. Coming when you do feel like coming, it's still worship. Amen. Coming when you can't hardly wait to get here, that's still worship. Praise the Lord. It's all about service. It's all about worship. Jesus said, if you just give a cup of water in my name. Amen. That's service. Serving your brother and your sister. Helping somebody else. Doing something for them. Encouraging them. Blessing them. Amen. There's so many ways that we can serve the Lord, but you're going to serve the Lord generally by serving people, because this is His body right here. Amen. Praise God. Somebody asked me one time, this has been a little facetious, they said, preacher, said, how do I give my offering to God? Huh? Do I get my money out and wave it? They, all right, God, here's the money, God, come get it. Come get your offering, God. Amen. And then they said, why does God need my money anyhow? I said, He don't. But His body does. Your spirit doesn't need any money. Your soul doesn't need any money. But your body does. Because your body has to be fed. And your body needs some shelter. Your body needs to be clothed. Your body has needs that money supplies. When we give our money to God, we're giving it to His body. His body is the church. Because it's the body that has needs. Light bills that have to be paid. Maintenance bills that have to be paid. Amen. All kinds of things, bills we got to pay. Amen. That's the body that we're serving here. Hallelujah. Meeting needs of individuals when they have needs that come up in their lives. There's a lot of things. And so you see, that's all service and that's worship. That's why giving is worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's all a part of worship, isn't it? Hallelujah. It's all a part of worship. So then we worship the Lord. That's the admonition, is that we worship. And then the next thing I want you to really note tonight, he said, worship the Lord. That's who you worship. Hallelujah. And when you know him, it's not hard to worship him. It might be difficult if you don't know him, but once you know him, it's easy to worship him. Hallelujah. When you get a handle on who the Lord is, praise God, and you know his name, praise God, hallelujah, and you understand, amen, that he's not three different bodies up there and there's some confusion going on and little musical chairs happening, whatever, amen, and that gets a little confused to some folks. They're trying to figure it all out. Somebody asked me one time, they said, "Kid, do you really believe oneness?" I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "The difference in you and me, sir, kindly, if I can say this, is that you cannot explain to me what you believe. Because you will reach some point in your explanation, you will say, it's a mystery, and we cannot understand it. But I'll never say that to you, because I can tell you exactly what I believe about God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can explain to you how he's the Father and the Holy Ghost and the Son. They're all one. I can tell you how that happens. Amen. I can tell you that he's the Father in creation. I can tell you that he's the Son in redemption. I can tell you that he's the Holy Ghost in regeneration. I can explain to you those are offices of the Lord and they're facets of God and their relationships with human beings. They're not any different than the relationships we have down here. Amen. I have a lot of relationships and a lot of offices that I feel. But if you see more than one of them, you need to get your glasses checked. And if you don't have any, get some. Amen. Or get off some medication. Sometimes that happens, doesn't it, Brother Williams? Amen. It'll make you see double. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what they told that drunk fellow who's going to get it in the car. They said, "Now when you get out there," he said, "don't get in the front and don't get in that back car. Get in the middle one, because that's really the only one that's there." Those other two are not there. Amen. So some folks, you know, they're seeing double here. Amen. They see all kinds of things. It's not hard to understand, folks. It's really not difficult. I'm a father. I have a daughter. I'm a son to my parents. Amen. I'm a husband to my wife. I'm a pastor of this congregation. I have a lot of relationships. A lot of relationships. But I'm just one. Amen. There's just one God. He has different relationships. He manifests himself or reveals himself. If that word's confusing. Reveals himself in different ways to us. But he's just one God. Hallelujah. God is spirit, the Bible said. But there came a time in fullness of time that God took upon himself a form of flesh. God came down and put himself in a body. Amen. He did that so that he could offer that body as a sacrifice and shed that blood as the price of redemption for our sins. Hallelujah. Hey, when you get to thinking about that, it's not hard to worship him. Woo, hallelujah. When you get to thinking about what you were before you came to this altar, amen, and what you got when you came down here, hallelujah, it's not hard to worship Him. Amen. When you came down here full of guilt and full of shame, amen, and full of hopelessness and full of addictions and full of all kinds of problems, and you laid them all down at an altar, and God gloriously cleansed you of all of your sins, and you felt so fresh and so clean and so pure because the blood washed away your sins, and God filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hey, friend, when that happens, it's not hard to worship God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Worship the Lord. And then He said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. Some people talk about holiness and they think of bondage. I've heard people say, I don't think you have to do all that stuff. I guess you don't have to. But if you love Him, you just do. It's not even a big deal. Somebody said something one time, made a lot of sense to me. I believe it was Brother Mullings. He said, you won't give up anything to go to heaven that you won't have to give up when you go to hell. I've heard people say, well, I just can't give that up. I just love that so much. I just can't give it up. Well, you will. You will. Some people have the idea that hell's going to be some kind of a party. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's going to be darkness. You're not going to see anything. You're not going to see anybody. It's going to be about pain. It's going to be about eternal suffering. There's not going to be any pleasure there whatsoever. All of your senses are going to be deprived except for your sense of feeling. Amen. You're not going to be able to see anything but darkness around you. I tell you, friend, it's not going to be a party. People seem to get the idea. I've heard people say, I'd rather party with the devil than live with Jesus. Amen. There ain't going to be no party. Amen. Praise God. It's not that kind of a thing. It's not a party with the devil or go to heaven with Jesus. It's not like that. Amen. It's life or death. It's heaven or hell. Just that simple. Amen. But there's a beauty about holiness. The Bible says that spiritual things are not carnally discerned. And that's true, isn't it? The carnal man cannot understand spiritual things. I think it's illustrated in the Old Testament. When you saw the old tabernacle in the wilderness, on the outside it was ram skins dyed red. It was not pretty. But when you went on the inside, it was ornate. It was beautiful. There were tapestries and beautifully designed and woven curtains, and there was gold and there was silver and there was beauty on the inside. But you couldn't see that from the outside. Amen. And I think spiritual things are like that. People don't understand how certain things can be beautiful. There are people that understand how prayer can be beautiful. There are people that don't understand how worship can be beautiful. There are people that don't really understand how going to church and serving God can genuinely be beautiful. I know a lot of folks just do it out of duty, but they don't enjoy it. Amen. And beauty of it. Hallelujah. Amen. There are some things that you can't see or understand with these natural eyes and with the natural feelings. Amen. We just don't understand that. As a matter of fact, the Bible said this about Jesus Christ. Isaiah, when he wrote about him, Isaiah 53:2, he said, "And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." If you were looking for somebody that's Hollywood handsome, it ain't him. There was nothing about his physical stature that would get you excited. If you want to get excited about Jesus, it's not going to be his physicality that's going to excite you. It's going to be his spirit. It's going to be his joy and his peace and his purity and his righteousness and his goodness and his generosity. All of those things. It's the spiritual things about God that will attract a person that is spiritual. Amen. But there's no beauty in the outer man that attracts people. If people were to see Jesus today, they would not be impressed physically. Oh, but when he preached, they said, "No man speaks like this man. He speaks like one with authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees." Hallelujah. Amen. Little children came to him and sat on his knee. Praise God. A prostitute from the street crawled away in where he was in the house and washed his feet with her tears. Amen. Because she felt something. A little lady with an issue of blood pressed her way through a crowd. There was just something about him. There were some lawyers that cried out and couldn't let him pass by. Amen. There's just something about him. Just some people. Not everybody. But those that were spiritual discerned something that said, "I gotta have him. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus." I understand that that song was written by an individual that lost all of their family and all of their possessions in a fire. They were left alone with almost nothing. But they picked up the pen and said, "Take this whole world, but give me Jesus." Amen. You can take everything else. You see, that's a person that spiritually has discerned him. They have homed in, understood. Amen. This, I gotta have this. This is essential. All that other stuff is not essential. But I've got to have Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The beauty of holiness is a real beauty. It's a genuine beauty. You know, I've seen physical beauty, and so many times it brings so much vanity. You know what I'm talking about? I've seen people that were physically attractive, but spiritually ugly. Emotionally ugly. So stinking self-righteous and full of self. Amen. And it was not attractive at all. Once you got to know them, the physical outside really didn't seem so attractive anymore. Amen. But you know what? The beauty of holiness is real. I know some people that are holy and they're beautiful all the time. Every time I see them, they're the same. And they're always beautiful. They always have a gentle and a kind and a loving and a pure spirit. Amen. They're never carnal. They're not flirty and they're not flighty. They're solid. Amen. Praise God. There's something genuine. You know what I'm talking about? They're not saccharine Christians. You know, saccharine's a substitute. It's supposed to be like sugar, but it's not. It'll sweeten something if you can stand it. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? It's not the real thing. Amen. And I want to be the real thing. How about you? Amen. I want to be genuine. Praise God. Brother Raymond, Neil, by the grace of God, I don't want to let you down. Amen. I don't want to let anybody down. Amen. I want to be genuine. Said, I want to be genuine. Amen. When you see me in Walmart, I want to be the same as when I'm in church. Amen. If I'm on vacation, I want to be the same as I am when I'm here. Amen. I want to be genuine. From the inside out, the same. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because the beauty of holiness is a genuine holiness. It's a genuine beauty. It's not something that you put on and take off. Amen. It's not just skin deep. Somebody said beauty is skin deep. Ugly goes all the way to the bone. Amen. Let me tell you something. Holiness goes deeper than that. The beauty of holiness goes deeper than that. Amen. You don't have to be physically attractive on the outside to be beautiful on the inside. Amen. When you have the Spirit of the Lord, it beautifies every individual. Praise God. Amen. The beauty of holiness abides. It's not something that comes and goes. Stays with you. Amen. It stays with you. Once you get sold out to this, amen, it'll stay with you. Every day it'll stay with you. Amen. You'll have this sensitivity to God and you'll want to do right. Amen. Regardless of anything else, you want to do right. Not because somebody's watching you, not because anything, but because you just love the Lord. That's all. You want to love your brothers and sisters because you love Jesus Christ. And He said we ought to love one another. Amen. It'll make you talk right. It'll make you walk right. Amen. It'll make you do right. Amen. The beauty of holiness. You just do it. And the motivation is because I love Him. And I want His Spirit to control my life. Amen. So it'll always be there. Now that's not true. That's one thing, folks, about physical beauty. It is fleeting. I promise you that. Amen. You might be able to hang on to a little physical action for a number of years, but after a while, what was it Dolly Parton said? She said it costs a lot of money to look this cheap. Amen. Amen. One lady, she had this little dot in the middle of her forehead, and somebody said, "Are you Hindu?" You know, they put that dot there. She said, "No, that's my belly button." She had so many facelifts. Amen. Just kept stretching. Amen. Folks go a long ways trying to keep this old flesh pretty, but I tell you what, amen, it takes a lot of work. Amen. And you can keep patching and fixing the outside. Amen. But after a while, it's different when you try to get up in the morning. Amen. Creaking, cracking. It changes things. Amen. It'll never happen to me. Well, if you get to live long enough, it will. Amen. You still got the want to, but it just kind of wanes a little earlier today. Amen. I start out every day with this big list of stuff I want to get done. And the longer it lasts, the further down the list some of that stuff gets. I still want to, but I don't have the, well, I just can't stay with it quite as long. But I'm thankful. I can do it what I can. Amen. I'm just saying that, you know, this beauty, physical beauty, it wanes. Amen. It changes. But the beauty of the Lord is steadfast. Amen. Praise the Lord, because He never changes. He never changes. He never gets a day older. He's the creator of time, not the subject of time. Amen. The Bible said He's perfect. He never changes because He's perfect. He doesn't need to change anything. Amen. He's absolutely perfect. He's absolutely beautiful. Amen. And so Psalm 90 and 17 said, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." Woo! I'd like to be beautiful like He's beautiful. Amen. Hallelujah. The beauty of the Lord. The beauty of holiness is satisfying. I said it's satisfying. The Bible said godliness with contentment is great gain. Very few people, I don't know if I've ever met anybody that was completely satisfied with the way they looked. Thank you for the little laughs of affirmation there. Amen. There's something wrong with every one of us. Amen. If my ears were bigger or smaller, if my nose was different, if my eyes were further apart or not so far apart, If my hairline was a little more forward, not so far back, maybe not so peaked, amen. If my teeth were straighter, on and on and on. If my eyes were a different color, amen. If my complexion was different, amen. And on and on and on it goes, amen. If I wasn't so fluffy, amen. And the list just goes on. Isn't that right? We're never satisfied. We're never satisfied. Not with this physical body. It's never perfect. Amen. Even those that people think are perfect are being worked on. If you've ever seen them without their additions, it's different. It's amazing what Photoshop will do. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This physical form is not perfect, and it'll never be. Amen. But the beauty of holiness is satisfied. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that all of us want to be better than we are. I know that. All of us know our flaws. And we know our shortcomings, and we know our sins and our failings. We know that. But there's something inside of us that wants more of the same. We just want more of the same. And that's okay to have that kind of desire, because the Bible said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you hunger for righteousness, amen, and you thirst for righteousness, God said, I will fill you. I will satisfy you. Amen. Praise God. So that is our pursuit tonight, and it satisfies us. Hallelujah. Amen. And lastly, the beauty of holiness glorifies God. I said it glorifies God. The beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. I sometimes think how God must feel when he looks at this world and he sees everything and he hears everything. He hears all of the cursing and all of the filthy, vile jokes and all of the bitterness and the violence and the corruption and the profanity and everything that's going on. He hears all of that. And he sees all of the vanity of people and the pushing and the shoving and the competition and the hating and the backstabbing and the gossip and all of that. But in the middle of it, he sees some people that in the beauty of holiness live their life in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. Whose mouth is not filled with cursing, but with blessing and with praise and with encouragement and with good things. Hallelujah. And God says, my, how beautiful that is. Hallelujah. Amen. He sees some ladies down here that dress in holiness and they're not in competition with the world. And they're not trying to track people with their physical features and all of those kinds of things. And God looks at their holiness and he says, that's beautiful. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And he looks at some men that are real men. Amen. And they love God, and they love their families, and they love their church, and they love their pastor. Amen. And they're doing everything they can just to live holy and just to please God. Amen. And God says, that's beautiful. Amen. Serve the Lord. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I'm telling you, it's not holiness is beautiful. Holiness is beautiful. Amen. There's nothing in this world like holiness. It's the most beautiful thing, amen, on this planet. Holiness is beautiful. Holiness is beautiful. Amen. And we compare holiness, worship the Lord, the beauty of holiness, with the ugliness of sin. I'm telling you, we even have a saying. Somebody said that he's ugly as sin. I'm telling you, sin's ugly. Sin's ugly. It dresses nice. Amen. It starts out looking good. If it didn't, nobody would sin. I said if sin was not appealing, nobody would sin. Isn't that right? If you could see what sin would do when it was finished with you, you'd never sin. It always comes with some kind of an attraction. But sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. It destroys purity. It destroys innocence. It destroys righteousness. It destroys beauty. Sin is ugly. Sin is, well, I think it's a little bit of an insanity. I've known people, and myself and yourself. Amen. We have done things, and whenever we came to our senses, we thought, why in the world did I do that? What was I thinking? Isn't that what the prodigal son said? The Bible said, when he came to himself. When he came to himself. You see, that sin, you don't think. And then when conviction comes and righteousness comes and light shines, and all of a sudden you can see, sin is no longer attractive. It's ugly. Amen. But we don't see that without the beauty of holiness. Amen. Thank God for the beauty of holiness. Let's stand together tonight. I want to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I just want to give God, to the best of my ability, a beautiful life. He gave me life, and it's his gift to me. And what I do with this life is my gift to God. Could I give you permission to do something tonight? Be different than the world. It's okay to be different than the world. You don't have to think like the world thinks. Do you hear me? I know, well, you know, everybody will think I'm weird. That's okay. Don't think like the world thinks. Don't act like the world acts. Don't live like the world lives. Amen. Come out. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Amen. That's what holiness, that's all it means. It means separation. It means set apart. And isn't that exactly what God does when he saves us? He reaches down, Brother Hart, and he takes us and he sets us apart. Here's the mainstream. Here's the Broadway. And he reaches down and he sets us apart. And he says, this one is mine. It's a narrow way. It's a straight gate. Amen. But it leads to everlasting life. You're going to like the destination if you'll just stay with it. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. How about it tonight? Let me invite you to come and let's just spend some time tuning our hearts tonight. Tuning our spirits tonight. Amen. Jesus, I need to hear it one more time. This old world's a cacophony. It's confusion. I just need to hear that certain sound one more time. I need to get the right pitch. I've been off tune just a little bit. I need to get my spirit right tonight. I need to get my heart right. Sometimes I let some things creep in. I don't mean to. I'm sure sorry. Sometimes I just let things get the better of me. Sometimes I kind of slip back to the old way. Sometimes I say some things I know I shouldn't say. I do some things that I know that I shouldn't. And I sure don't mean to hurt you. And I sure don't want to disappoint you. But I thank you for your mercy. And I thank you for your grace. I thank you because you understand me. And because you love me. And you love me enough to let me start over again and again and again and again. Oh, Jesus, help me. I want to give you a beautiful life. Help me to get my eyes just on Jesus. Not to look at the world and the things that are in the world. Not to get in any kind of competition. But let me just get my eyes on Jesus. Help me not to look at my brother or my sister. Amen. I might get the feeling like I'm better than somebody. Or I might get the feeling like I could never be as good as somebody else. So help me just to keep my eyes on Jesus. Amen. Help me just to keep my feet in the straight and the narrow. Amen. Just help me to follow you, Lord. Just help me to follow you with a whole heart. Amen. With a made up mind. With a steadfast spirit. Help me, Jesus.